How many of you today know the Lord touched you and made you whole? Amen. If you haven't experienced that, I pray that you will even today, that you'll come to know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin. We have several graduates this year. We have bought Bibles for them, and we want to present them to them at this time. And Brother Bandy is going to help me in this, and we're going to call them up here by their classes and present them with their Bible. And then if you would, I'd like to ask you to hold your applause, and we'll give them all a big hand at the end. If I call someone's name that's not here today, if there's someone that wants to pick up their Bible for them, then please come up and get that if you would. We had one preschooler this year, Caden Cherry. We have a Bible for Caden. Are you Caden? Or?
I grew up a little bit.
We have three kindergartners, Noah Haas, Dylan Hardcastle, and Dawson Harden. How you guys doing? Good. All right. There you go, Dylan. Congratulations. Good job, Dawson. Congratulations. Somebody want to get Noah's Bible? Okay. Cody? They have names in them. They have names in them. Congratulations, Cody. We had three that graduated elementary: Bailey Cottle, Maddie Haas, and Hannah Thomas. Congratulations, Bailey. Good job. Thank you. Maddie? Somebody want to take Madeline's? Thank you. We had three middle school graduates: Tyler Cottle, Cody Harden, and Shelby Wheat. Bless you, Tyler. Good job. Congratulations. Bless you, Cody. Congratulations. Good job. Bless you, Shelby. Good job, honey. Congratulations. We have three high school graduates: Micah Hayes, Rachel Riley, and Zach Woosley. Micah, congratulations. Good job. I think, do you want to take them both? Okay, good. Thank you. And we had three graduate at collegiate level. We had Joe Dan Beavers, Wes Durant, and Wes Sanford. Yeah, okay. Let me make sure I've got these right here. Bless you, Wes. Good job. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Good job. And I believe in these that, if I'm correct in this, Joe Dan Beavers actually received his master's degree and Wes Durant his bachelor's degree. So I understand that, and we had gone by the names that were on the list, but I understand we missed D. Dallas. Is he here? D., why don't you come on up here, and we'll take care of getting you a Bible, okay? Mackenzie? Okay. You all are going to have to start signing the list. Bless you. We'll get you by. We'll take care of that. You graduated from kindergarten? Well,
Danielle.
Good job, Danielle. Thank you. We'll get you a Bible, okay? You're welcome. Let's give them all a big hand. I'd like to share some scripture with you this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. If you want to read with me, please turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to read a short lesson beginning with verse 14. I appreciate everyone who listens to the TV program, The Voice of Baptist Truth, and if you listen to that program, probably in about 3 or 4 weeks, you'll hear this same message. I recorded this the other day, and right in the middle of preparing that, the Lord moved up on my heart to bring this thought before you here this morning. So I want to begin reading with Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And I want to stop my reading there with those verses from Romans chapter 8. And I want to read a few more verses, very similar verses, where Paul wrote about this again in his writing to the Galatians. If you turn to Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, he wrote, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I want to speak to God's children mainly here this morning, but I hope by the help of God to be able to have some things to say also to you if you're here today and you have not been saved. I want to use for a title this morning, not only children, but heirs. This is a message today about one of the great benefits that we have as being children of God. There are so many benefits to being saved. The verse from the psalm that we hear Brother Wheat make reference to in Sunday school quite a bit about how that the Lord just loads us daily with benefits. And there are so many things, so many benefits that could be spoken about and preached about. You know, one of the great benefits of salvation is friendship. We have a great friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is He a Savior, but He is also a constant friend to those that come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Jesus is my friend. He's my very best friend, the best friend that I've ever had. And so I want to talk about that today, that the fact that we as God's people, and many of us today, we know there are many here today that can relate to what Paul said here in the 16th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, when he said the Spirit itself, talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know what I'm talking about, those of you that have been saved. Everybody that has truly been saved has experienced the witness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with their own spirit. The witness of the Spirit is essential to being saved. If the Holy Spirit has not done that with your own spirit, if you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you've been saved, then you're not saved. And this chapter teaches us that very plainly, because it talks about the fact, if you go to some of the verses preceding where I begin to read, the Bible here, and Paul made reference in this writing several times to the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And in verse 9, he said, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that he is none of his." And you know, that's one of the things that makes the, as far as I'm concerned, that makes the views that many have held about predestination, it won't work. Because until we have been saved, until we have that Spirit of Christ, the Bible says that we're none of His. We're not children in waiting. We're not those that have been foreordained and pre-elected and are just waiting to receive that. Until we come to the Lord and repent of our sins and trust Him for salvation, and we have the indwelling Spirit of God, until that takes place, Paul said we're none of His. And we're not. Spiritually, we are all God's creation, but spiritually we have no connection at all with Jesus Christ until that takes place. Before that point, we are not spiritually related to Him at all. But once we become children, you see, when we are saved, we become more than children of God. And what a great blessing it is to be His child. I mean, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But what Paul was writing here is that we not only become His children when we are saved, but we have benefits that go beyond that. And one of those benefits is that we don't only become God's children through salvation, we become His heir. That's what he said. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of an heir, when we think of this from a natural standpoint, when we think about this on the human level, we generally think of an heir as being someone that is going to receive the things that another person owns when the time comes that that person dies and leaves this world. When they bequeath what they have to someone else and leave their goods to them, that's the way that we generally think of someone being an heir. And we know that on the human level, that it's possible, and it does happen from time to time, on the human level, that you can be someone's child and yet not become their heir. They may choose, because they have a choice in that. They may choose to not leave what they have to their child. They may choose to leave it to someone else, or they may choose to leave that to an organization. And you may not become the heir of your parents. They may, for some reason, leave it somewhere else. But that's not the case with God. Everybody that is a child of God is an heir of God. And there's not going to be any partiality. There's not going to be any favor. God is no respecter of persons. God will treat all of His children the same. And if you have been saved by God's grace, then you have the benefit of being an heir of God. And you will receive your inheritance. You know, when I thought about this and studied this, one of the most prevailing thoughts I had in this was, and every time I read about something like this, I just realize all the more that I don't need the riches of this life. I don't need them. I'm thankful that God has promised us that if we will serve Him, that He will give us what we need. But I don't need the riches of this world. My riches are beyond this life. My riches are waiting for me. The inheritance that is important to me is out in the future, and I'm not going to receive it here. If you look in the 12th chapter, I believe, of Deuteronomy in verse 9, Moses there speaking about the Exodus and when the children of Israel were headed towards Canaan, when they were headed towards that promised land, that land that God had promised to give them, a land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. There in the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, ye are not as yet come to the rest, nor the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. It went on and it said, when you're passed over the Jordan, that's when you're going to have it. And you, many of you I know are familiar with that, reading about that, about how that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came out from under that bondage, and they headed towards that land that God had promised them, that they went through many hardships and many trials, and they faced many obstacles along the way. And they came to a point, some of them anyway, there were those that missed out on it because they just did not believe. But for many of them, they came to the point there where they finally crossed the Jordan and they went into that lush land of Canaan. And there they received the inheritance that God had promised to them. But at that point, they were made aware that they had not yet received that. They had not yet come to that. And for the children of God, and friends, I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you today, and I've spoken about this before. This is one of the things that bothers me so much about the type of preaching that people are hearing today, the type of false preaching that people are hearing today about how that God wants to just bless us with the great riches of life and that your best life is now. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe it. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I don't believe God's word will support it. I don't believe Jesus promised us the riches of this world. I think he promised us things that are better than what we could have in this world. Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus himself said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures up on the earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal." And he said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. So we have become heirs of God, and we have become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing how much that God loves his children? You know, Jesus was his only begotten son. The Bible says, tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He only had one. He only had one. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we know from what we can read in the Bible about it, we know how much that God loves his son. The Bible says it very plainly, the Father loveth the Son. You know, I'm thankful today that I'm blessed to be a father. That's been a great blessing to me in this life. I thank God. I have got down many times, got down on my knees and give God thanks that he allowed me, gave me the privilege of being a father. I thank God for my children. I love them with all my heart. And you know, thinking about that on the human level, I can only imagine how much God must have loved his son. And to think that God would allow me, somebody like me, to think that God would allow me, that God would show such love towards us as his children, that he would allow us to become joint heirs with his son, Jesus Christ. just blesses me beyond expression. But that's what the Bible says we are. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I don't know among you today, I don't know what you may have already inherited in this life, what you may have already inherited from parents. I don't know what that you may inherit in the future from parents, but I do know this, that the natural things of this life, if when the time comes for me to die and leave this world, I do know this, that any of the natural possessions of this life that I have that I might be able to leave to my children, I know that it won't last them forever. I know that the day will come when those things will be gone. Any money that I have to leave to them will no doubt be spent. Any possessions that I would have to leave them will decay. They'll all, one of these days, pass away, and we will not be able to leave behind to them an eternal possession in the material things that we possess. I still say today that I believe the best thing anybody can leave their children is spiritual teachings. I believe the best thing that you and I today as the people of God, if those that come behind us are going to have a good inheritance, then we need to leave to them good teachings and strong churches. And that's the best thing that we as Christian parents could possibly leave behind for our children. Because Jesus promised, He promised us, didn't He? That if we would serve Him, if we would seek Him first and serve Him, He promised us that we would have the things that we stand in need of. And I believe we will. God will keep His promise. You may not get rich. I heard somebody say one time that, you know, serving the Lord is chicken one day and feathers the next. I mean, you won't get rich. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. If you really, truly preach the gospel, I don't care what these preachers on TV are trying to portray. I mean, what we know as the televangelists are trying to portray. But I'll tell you what, the true man of God, somebody that will really preach the truth of God's word, won't do it for money, and he won't get rich preaching. I guarantee you that. He won't get rich preaching the gospel. It's not about those things. It's about leaving something for people that will help them to know the way, the ways of the Lord, help people to know how to get saved and to know what to do with their lives after they have been saved. And that's the best thing that we could possibly leave for our posterity. I want to talk to you for a moment about what the Apostle Peter wrote about the inheritance that we have as the children of God. And you remember what I said there a moment ago, that anything that we have in this life, it will surely pass away. Any of the material wealth of this world that anybody leaves us will surely pass away. But friends, listen, God, when He saved our soul, God has given us an inheritance that will never pass away. I lived next door to a lady and grew up next to her. I don't think I ever shared this with you here. I grew up next door to this lady that she got a notification, an official notification. It was the big talk of the neighborhood. She got this official notification that she had a rich ancestor. I believe, if I remember right, it was an uncle. And somebody had overturned and found the paperwork saying that she was supposed to have received a big inheritance from this man. But by the time it got to her, nobody knew where the money was. Somebody got a hold of it somewhere along the line, but nobody knew what had happened to it. And so we know that the things that we inherit in this life, they're not safeguarded, are they? That's what Jesus was talking about. If we lay up treasures in this world, we're laying up treasures where moth and rust can corrupt, and we're laying up treasures where thieves break through and steal, and the temporal things of this life are not safeguarded, and they're not under his protection, but the spiritual heritage that we have is. And Peter expressed it to us in this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so the inheritance that God has for us is laid up beyond this world. It is laid up in heaven. It is there. It is waiting for us. We are going to receive it. Not one of God's children will ever be shortchanged. There will be no moth or rust that will corrupt it and cause it to decay. There will be no thieves that will break through and steal, because God has it laid up in heaven and he has it waiting for us, and he is protecting it and keeping it by his power, and we're going to receive it just as soon as this life is finished. I need no mansion here below, because Jesus said that I can go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. I don't need the treasures of this life. Joel Osteen can have all of it he wants, and he can preach about it to people all that he wants. I don't need it. If I've got enough to get by, that's fine. That's just fine. Because I'm rich. And if you've been saved, you're rich. We're just waiting to inherit. We're just waiting to receive it. Well, what are we going to receive? What is the inheritance? I mean, we know here that people receive all sorts of different things. Sometimes people might even will something to somebody they didn't even want themselves. I'll leave it behind to him. Let him deal with it. I mean, we can receive all sorts of things, but our inheritance as the children of God is a kingdom. It's a kingdom. You know, and realize that we're going to inherit an entire kingdom. That's what the Bible says, that we are going to inherit an entire kingdom. It's not going to be a kingdom like this world has ever seen. It's not going to be a great kingdom like there was there in Egypt when children of Israel were in bondage there. It's not that type of earthly kingdom that we're going to inherit. It's not like the Babylonian kingdom was, but we are going to inherit a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. Matthew chapter 25 tells us that when the Lord comes, that he's going to gather all nations before him, and that he's going to begin to divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The Lord is going to come, and he's going to gather everybody before him, and he's going to divide his children from those that are not his children, and he's going to place his children on the right hand and those that are not his children on the left hand, and he is going to say unto his children, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're going to inherit God's kingdom. Those of us that have a spiritual inheritance, we have a Father today. Happy Father's Day to my Heavenly Father. We have a Father today that is never going to die. You see, He's not going to have to die in order for us to get what He has. Kind of a sad thought from the earthly standpoint, isn't it? That in order for us to inherit those things, that our parents have to die first and then leave those things to us. But my Heavenly Father doesn't have to die. One day He'll give us those things that He has for us. He'll give them to us right there in His presence, and we'll enjoy them with Him forever and forever and forever. If I would have had anything left to me that my father owned when he died, you know what I would have wanted to do more than anything? I would have said, well, I wish that I could enjoy it with him. But you know, with an earthly inheritance, you can't do that, can you? Because by the time you get it, they're gone. But the things that God is going to give us, we'll enjoy them in His presence and be with Him forever and forever. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God blessed me beyond measure when He saved my soul. How about you? God has given us so many benefits. And you know the beauty of this is God has enough. You know, if an earthly father had this X amount of things that he was going to be able to leave his children, you know what? If he just continued to get children, he'd have to just cut it down, wouldn't he? He'd have to cut it down. Every child that came along, there'd be a little bit less each one of them would get, because he'd have to start dividing what he was going to give them. But you know, God has so much to give. I mean, he has so much to give that God can give everybody just as much as the next one. He has so much grace and he has so much mercy. God has enough salvation and he has enough inheritance for everybody that ever has or ever will live. And if you're here today and you're lost, the beauty of this to you is that you too can become an heir of God. God will take you in. He will adopt you. Those of us that can say today that we have an inheritance in God, we don't have something that we earned. We don't have something that we deserve. We have something that God gave to us when we came to Him seeking Him. We have received an inheritance. And God will adopt you into His family just the way that He has those of us that are already saved. What did Paul say here? And I'll close with this. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, our Father. Whereby we cry, my Father. Whereby we cry, my Daddy. That's what he's talking about. Whereby through that adoption we say, God, you are my Father. You are my Heavenly Father. And he's going to give us, one of these days, he's going to give us as his children his kingdom. It's ours to inherit and has been from the foundation of the world. If you've been saved, if you have been saved by God's grace, if you have to struggle your way through this life, just be happy. Be happy, because the Lord soon will bless us with all the beauty and the riches of His spiritual kingdom. He'll bless us with our inheritance in heaven. And if we keep that in mind, friends, we can make it through this life. We can make it through this life. I appreciate your attention today. I want to ask Brother Ronnie if you would.